This is an iHeart podcast.
I was briefed about this discovery and surprised to learn that there were any government records that were taken there to that office.
I was surprised to learn that there were any things taken to that office. Good writing, guys. It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. The show, in case you're just joining us, has gone completely sideways because I'm enjoying these and I'm going to keep going this direction. Why? Because I feel like it. And we're going to have stories now about your horrible travel before we get back to the deep state and why we're all going to die. So until then, let's go to Dan in Pennsylvania. Go.
Hey, man. So I just started driving truck. I'm headed from Pennsylvania to Oregon. I stop in Wyoming, and it's like negative 20 and 40 mile an hour winds, and the fuel gels up in my truck. I have no heat. I'm breathing. I'm in the bunk, breathing in my blanket, trying to warm myself up with my breath. So a guy finally shows up, gets my truck running again. 20 miles later, my fuel gels up again. So now I'm in the same situation. I'm freezing my rear end off, and it had no heat. It was horrible, man.
In case you think Dan's lying or exaggerating, 20 below zero was not at all abnormal for Wyoming, Montana, places like that. And when the wind gets a cooking... And in case for you Southerners, you all love to call me a Yankee. So for you Southerners, allow me to explain. Diesel fuel can only get so cold, and then diesel fuel turns into jelly and doesn't work anymore. If you have a diesel, see, you guys don't know this down here, Chris. If you have a diesel truck up in Montana in the wintertime, what you normally have to do, it almost always has to be in the garage, but no matter what, you have to plug it in. They come with plugs. You have to plug it in so your fuel won't gel up and destroy your truck overnight. And like he just explained, it'll gel up while you're driving. It gets so cold there. Like, gosh, that's just crazy. Brody, Atlanta, your worst travel story. Go.
Hey, so I was going on leave right before I deployed to Iraq in the Army because I'm a real pipe hitter that can operate equipment. And we drive from Marietta, Georgia to Frisco, Colorado for a 7-day all-inclusive ski trip. And we show up. It snows 14 inches overnight that night that we got there. We had to dig out of the parking lot to get to the ski slopes. Snowboarded every day for 7 days in a row, digging out every morning. And then the passes were closed that we came in on. So I was going down through Arkansas to go back to the house. And the mountain pass was closed. And I had to get another 7-day excursion and stayed there and snowboarded for another 7 days before I could drive back to post. And I called my squad leader, and he was hot. And I was like, nope, I ain't going to make it, Sergeant. Sorry, they're telling me it ain't safe to go that way. So I'm going to have to snowboard. I'm going to have to stay here and snowboard for 7 more days.
Hang on, Brody. Let me see if I understand this correctly. Your travel nightmare is getting an extra 7 days of skiing and then hanging out with the snow buddies in the lodge at night. Do I have that right? That's your travel nightmare?
It was awful, dude.
What a dirty liar. Johnny in Jersey, go.
This is back in the 80s, Jesse, when they had an airline called People's Express. I was involved with a band that had a song called Cornflakes and Beer, and the idea was to get a major beer into the video when MTV was real big, so I had to get to St. Louis. On my way out, I had a big bag of booger sugar stuck in my suit jacket with a straw plugged into it, and I was just honking on it. I got to O'Hare, had a 4-hour layover, went to the bar, started banging beers and shot the jack, got into a discussion with a woman about religion. The next thing I know, I think I'm Jesus Christ, The cops are chasing me through the airport. I'm jumping over turnstiles like O.J. Simpson. I end up doing 13 days in a loony bin. I wanted a cigarette so bad, I'm begging for a cigarette. What I got was a big shot in the back of my butt. Knocked me out for 2 days. Thankfully, my father came and got me released. It's a good thing they put me in the loony bin. Had they arrested me and gone through my stuff, they would have found a key for a locker, which had another big pile of booger sugar in it, and I would have probably done 4 to 8 years in the state penitentiary.
Congratulations on staying out of the clink, Johnny. I love our listeners. They are the best. I just want to do a quick side note quickly. I'll get back to these in a moment. When we get calls, because I have meetings now, annually, semi-annual meetings with all the people who advertise on the show. And some I'm close to now. Some are friends, like Chalk. I'll tell you right now, I don't think he'll mind. Seton is his name. He's a big cheese at Chalk. He's a personal friend. And we get together. We have beers. We relax. We talk about everything, really. Politics, what's going on. And almost all of them will tell me about you and how you, as far as a, quote, conservative talk radio audience, are a little different. And it's never a bad different. They always have a big smile on their face, ear to ear, about all the ruffians who listen to this show. I love you guys. By the way, speaking of Chalk, they really are our people. And I want you to understand, I really am serious when I tell you about your testosterone levels, guys. And ladies, all your kind of imbalances, too. And I'm not actually making any women jokes there. It's just that's part of life as we get older. Get yourself a male vitality stack, fellas. 20% increase in your testosterone means a better life. 90 days. Take it for 90 days. You cancel your subscription if you don't feel better. If it doesn't do what I tell you it's going to do. Same thing for you, ladies. You get a female vitality stack subscription, you cancel if it doesn't make you feel better. It will, though. Go to choq.com, promo code Jesse. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. Start feeling better, all right? You guys are the friggin' best. Robert, Pennsylvania, go.
Well, Jesse, I was at a four-day meeting in New Orleans in February of 2017, right during the heart of the Mardi Gras. And that was the same year that the NBA had moved their All-Star game from Charlotte, North Carolina, at the last minute to New Orleans. So the whole city was kind of jammed up. And Sunday, the same day as the game, I had a 6:15 flight out of New Orleans and a 3:15 limo to pick me up at the hotel. Well, the limo could only get 2 blocks from the hotel, so I had to fight the Mardi Gras crowd, walk to the limo, and the police had many of the streets closed and detoured to move people going to the game to get there quickly. So the limo took 1 hour just to go around the block and get back to the hotel. So by 4:30, I realized I wasn't going to make my flight. So I called the airport to let them know what was going on, and they said, fine. I got to the airport at 7 o'clock, and the airline said there were no flights available at all on any airline that night and not at all the next day, all day Monday from any airline. And all the hotels in the surrounding area and the city were booked up. So it looked like I was going to have to spend 2 days in the New Orleans airport. But fortunately, a supervisor came over, told me he would send me to Houston where I could get a flight Monday morning at 5:30 a.m. to my hometown. And so he sent me to Houston. I got to the airport at 10:30. I spent the night all by myself pretty much in the terminal. Around 3:15, the airline people came in, verified my flight. I got to the gate, and about 4:30, we loaded on the plane. Around 5:15, I heard the attendant say, we'll be pulling out in 5 minutes. The next thing I remembered was waking up in Philadelphia because I fell asleep the whole time.
You know, that ain't bad. By the way, Robert, while I have you on here, New Orleans, believe it or not, in all my travels and as much as I love to eat, I have still never been to the Big Easy. And I want to go eat my way through that place. New Orleans, is it awesome? Is it horrible? I have to go.
Oh, we had great meals all 4 days, and there was a restaurant downtown right near the hotel where we stayed, right in the heart of Mardi Gras. We got some really great seafood and some hurricane drinks.
Was it Red Lobster?
And you get your beignets there also. Pardon me?
Was it Red Lobster?
What was your question?
Was it Red Lobster, the restaurant?
It was some fancy French. It was a French restaurant.
Oh, okay. Chris, I don't think Red Lobster is French, is it? I don't think so. Anyway, 877-377-4373. Your travel nightmare stories. When I get back, we're going to do a little deep state thing here. Apparently, all three of the former presidents are reinforcing something you already knew and I already knew, but we're going to play it just so you get the whole flavor of it. We'll get to that and how to treat the press and your travel nightmare calls. All that is still to come on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Hang on.
Missed out? Catch up. JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, reminding you, you can still email the show. Your love, your hate, your death threats, your Ask Dr. Jesse questions. You can email those to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. This is from the dossier, my buddy Jordan Schachtel's Substack. From the United States, Davos, by the way, the World Economic Forum. You know that evil organization that's trying to kill about 6 billion people. We've played a million things from the WEF on the show. We always will. You have to be aware of them now. Well, they have an annual meeting in Davos. It's in Switzerland. And a couple of things you should know. Just this is stuff I know from doing some digging on this. You don't just buy a ticket, all right? You couldn't go on StubHub. I couldn't go on StubHub right now and get a ticket to Davos. You have to be invited. Oftentimes, you have to buy your way in. I don't mean for $50 in the nosebleeds. But people get invited. Who from the United States of America is going to sit in this evil organization's meeting? And when I say evil organization, just know that the World Economic Forum has partnered with the United Nations openly. This is all information readily available to everybody. On what I call, or not what I call, what they call the 2030 plan. What does that mean? That means the complete destruction of your standard of living by 2030. That's what it means. Billions dead. That's what it means. So I do find it interesting that the FBI director, Christopher Wray, is going. CEO of Amazon is going. CEO of BlackRock, largest financial institution, is going. CEO of Pfizer is going. As well as top officials at the Gates Foundation, Soros' network, and the publisher of the New York Times. That is interesting. Isn't it interesting how the world's elites are constantly getting together to push horrible things on you, the dirty peasant?
Our fellow Americans.
Right now, the COVID-19 vaccines are available to millions of Americans.
And soon, they will be available to everyone.
The science is clear. These vaccines will protect you and those you love from this dangerous and deadly disease.
They could save your life.
So we urge you to get vaccinated when it's available to you.
That's the first step to ending the pandemic and moving our country forward. It's up to you.
That was lovely music, wasn't it? Just three former presidents, Obama, Bush, and Clinton, lying to your face. Oh, well, I'm sure there's nothing there. You know, we don't have time to worry about that. We have to talk about bed bugs. James in Houston, go.
Yes, sir. One time I was in Galveston, and I think they were having spring break. And I was looking for a room, and I found one room. And he wanted $300 for the night. So I got to my room. I woke up the next morning. There was blood all over the bed. I looked a lot closer and was bed bugs all in my bed.
Oh, no. Oh, gosh. Dave in Denver, go.
Jesse. I was decided this is back in the 90s before Pure Talk or Hero Guns. I was taking a dive trip to Cancun and Cozumel. Landed in Dallas, Texas, where I was supposed to have a night over and then take the flight out from there. On the way to Dallas, the airlines lost my luggage. They told me it'd catch up to me in Mexico. I took off that following morning to Mexico. Landed in Cancun wearing my business suit, wingtips. Now, they didn't have a lot of clothes my size. I'm a little larger guy, and I was able to find a pair of shorts, so I was walking in wingtips, shorts, and a white shirt. Rented a car, got some strange looks, drove down to Cozumel, to Playa de Carmen, where you take off from the boat there, drove down there, and got on the ferry to go over there. On the way over, I was robbed. I had a bag with my stuff in it, gone. So I ended up in Cozumel wearing shorts, wingtips, and no money. arrived there. I was going to be meeting up with some buddies 3 days later. Went to the hotel with no credit cards or anything like that, identification. They would not rent me a room. Fortunately, back in the day, you could find a doctor, American doctor of some type, was always someplace in those towns. And I found an American dentist who gave me enough money and talked to the hotel so that I could stay there. Spent 3 days without any clothes, other than the wingtips and my shorts, with no money to spend on anything, until finally my buddies arrived 3 days later. Back then, I didn't use American Express. Wished I would have. But ended up okay after that, but a good travel story to tell.
That is one heck of a travel story to tell. Ooh, and you know what? You know what the worst part of that whole thing was? I'm talking to Michael now. Chris had to leave for synagogue. On my life, I'm not making that up. You know what the worst part of that whole thing was? That was before he had great things like MyPillow. Think about this. Think how much easier that trip would have been if you're sitting there, you're rotting in Mexico, you have no money, and everything sucks. But instead of your wingtips, you're walking around Mexico in your MyPillow My Slippers, because it would have provided him with the comfort and support he wanted anyway with their four-layer design. He wouldn't have even cared about running out of money. You don't need food when you're walking around in My Slippers. You're so full of euphoria, food and water cease to matter. He wouldn't have needed a room. And right now they're $90 off, so he wouldn't have needed much money. He could have borrowed some money from that dentist and gotten some My Slippers, or maybe even better, he gets back home and he gets to crawl into some Giza dream sheets. You can get those right now for as low as $29.98. Did you know that? All he needed was MyPillow to make the whole thing better, the trip and the way home. He should have went to MyPillow.com, which probably didn't exist back then, clicked on the radio listener specials, and used the promo code Jesse, which definitely didn't exist back then, and gotten a screaming deal on some Giza dream sheets, maybe some slippers and mattress toppers. MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse. Or you can call 800-845-0544. Ron, Houston, go.
1987, I'm a young business traveler trying to make my way from Houston to L.A. Thunderstorm comes in, cancels the flight. My buddy that I'm with from work, he says, well, we'll reschedule. I'll take the later flight. Not me. I'm ambitious. No, I'm taking the standby flight, stupidly, and land. The first stop is Austin. Well, one thing I find out, when you're standby, when the plane is full, you get off the plane. So now I'm in Austin. Stuck there, trying to get another flight on to L.A. They give me another flight about 2 hours later, but that one stops in Phoenix. Guess what? I'm still standby, and the plane is still full. So I get to get off in Phoenix. And you sit there. I made some nice friends in the terminal. But, you know, watching the hand clocks go by, like circle and circle and circle. Finally, that plane shows up. Okay, no stops. I'm on it. Guess who's on the plane? My buddy that wisely went home, and so he got to sit in the same seat all the way to LA.
That sucks. Oh, gosh. All right, we're going to be back with more of these. I'm enjoying these too much. We'll talk about how to treat the media. The New York Times is upset, and we're going to get to your travel nightmares. It looks like there are some good ones waiting for us. Hang on. It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Nice song selection, Michael, especially given the topic at hand. In case you're just joining us, what is the topic at hand? Are we dealing with all the major news of the day, or taxes, or spending, or the border? No, my goodness, no, we're screwing off tonight. Why? I feel like it. That's why. We're talking about your worst travel stories. I told one of mine. We're going to get back to yours in a second. 877-377-4373. We accidentally dropped the call of the gentleman who was thrown in a Mexican jail. Do me a favor and call back, sir. 877-377-4373, because people deserve that. Now, I'm going to do something I don't do often on the show. I'm just going to read you a few paragraphs really quickly out of this New York Times article that's titled, "Can Ron DeSantis Avoid Meeting the Press?" It talks about this Miles Cohen, a young ABC News reporter, found himself stymied. And then it goes on to say, when Mr. Cohen was finally able to ask a question about the governor's handling of Hurricane Ian, Mr. DeSantis shouted him down, "Stop, stop, stop," and then scolded the media for trying to cast aspersions. The DeSantis campaign then taunted Mr. Cohen on Twitter, prompting a torrent of online vitriol. By the way, I want to just say, you bully communists every chance you get. Okay, that's our job as anti-communists, is to bully them. Oh, we should be nice. No, we should not. It should be a mark of shame to be a communist. You should be ashamed. Well, this is, quick side note, it's our shame that they're so bold. You know, all that communist in your neighborhood, you have a neighborhood party and everything's normal, he comes up and, can you believe how bad Trump sucks? These idiots. He should be scared. Instead, he's the most bold one. He should be scared because we haven't bullied him enough. Anyway, moving on. So on election night, Mr. Cohen decamped to a friendlier environment for the news media, Mar-a-Lago, where President Donald J. Trump greeted reporters by name. Quote, he came up to us, asked how the sandwiches were, and took 20 questions, Mr. Cohen recalled. So now, of course, Trump is the one who is treating the media well, according to the media. And DeSantis is being the big meanie McMean face. All I'm going to say is this. Treat the media like you would treat your enemy, because that's what they are. They're not biased. They're not liberal. They're not left-leaning. They're on the other side. Their job is to destroy you. Now, from there, it's up to you. However you want to treat them is up to you, but you better be treating them as somebody who would utterly destroy you. Freezing them out is the best course of action. I want to get to this one real quick before I get to your calls, because this is actually serious and we're going to go back to laughing here in a second. Part-time pink flower, she says. That's not nice. Even the girls are making fun of me. I'm a 13-year-old girl who lives in an extremely blue part of California. I stumbled upon your show on the radio a year ago on accident while flipping through the channels and was intrigued. I've been listening to your show every night and I love it. However, my parents disliked the show and yelled at me once for, quote, listening to this beep, I'll say poop. Both my parents are Democrats, and every day at school I'm surrounded with LGBTQIA plus posters, pro-choice speeches from teachers, and boys and girls who refer to themselves as them and they. All my peers and classmates are brainwashed by these radical points, and they all disagreed with me and even stopped talking to me when I said there were only two genders. You talk about moving to a red part of the country almost every night. How do I do this as a young girl whose parents are Democrat communists too? Please don't say my name and thank you. Young lady, you don't go anywhere until you're 18. You are already an incredible human being wading through all the filth surrounding you, including inside of your own home. You keep yourself safe and in your home. And when you turn 18, you pack it up and you ship out and you never look back. And you're going to discover once you get out of that place that there are many, many places in this country where you can be surrounded by normal people and be happy and be surrounded by sanity. You just got to tough out another 5 years, all right? Look, people have toughed out a lot. You got to tough out another 5 years. Mike in Pennsylvania, go.
65. I'm in the Air Force, going on with a C-124. It doesn't even look like the damn thing can fly, but it does. And it's loaded with all the maintenance guys. The radar techs, it's an EC-121. It's a precursor of the AWACS planes. Anyway, we're island hopping. And we get to Hawaii and Midway and Wake. And anyway, when we get to Clark in the Philippines, they send us to a Quonset hut from World War II, all overgrown. The sergeants had nothing to do with that. But the big story is on the way back, we were in Taiwan and Saigon. We're taking off from Taiwan. We're flying across again, and then all of a sudden, number four engine goes out. Well, that's not too bad. This thing will fly on three engines until number two went out, and they're fixing to dump all the baggage overboard, but they find Marcus Island. This little bitty island, the big thing for the, it was the Coast Guard station for Lorraine, which was 4GPS, and a big thing on that island was to shoot rats at night. We landed there, stayed there for a couple of days, and then a C-130 came in. It was the most beautiful thing I ever saw.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this square, 20 feet from the end of the runway, because it was a short runway. We got on the plane. I guess this isn't that much of a story, but when I they were going to dump all the baggage all till they found Marcus Island. Funny thing is, I joined the Coast Guard, almost got sent there. And then on the way, when we flew off from the island, I'm 19 years old, and there's only one bunk, and the sergeant's sleeping. It was his turn to sleep. And there's like eight guys ready to jump it, and the sergeant said, "Young airman, you can have the bunk." And I slept all the way to San Francisco.
Ah, oh, that ain't too bad right there. Eddie, Mississippi, go.
Yeah, my wife wanted to go on a cruise to the Bahamas, so we went to Cape Canaveral. And on the way there, I'd worked the shift before, and she wanted to go ahead and leave. So we were going to drive straight through. Well, that didn't work out. I got really tired, tried to stop. The weather was horrible. Tried to sleep in my Ram 3500, and even though it's a big truck, I couldn't get comfortable. So we go to a little town called Darren, Georgia, and I get there, and every hotel in this little town off of 95 is booked everywhere. Well, I found one, and I'm so tired at this point, I don't care. So I go in, I pay the guy. He tells me that in a thick Indian accent that they have a complimentary breakfast in the morning. I'm like, cool. So I go in, crash, family goes in, crashes. We all pile up in these two double beds. Get up the next morning, and you couldn't see this when you walked in the room because the lights were really dim, they poor lighting. There's a spot between the two beds that looked like a body had decomposed there. Don't know if it was a dead body, not for sure what happened, but I'm like, okay, well, I've got to take a shower. So I go in the bathroom, step on the shower floor, it's carpet, it crunches. You stand there for just a second, and then you sink down about 2 feet or about 2 inches.
Oh.
So I'm like, okay, enough of this. I'm just going to take a shower and go. So I take the shower, come out. In the meantime, my wife, she's a bed bug fanatic, so I don't even know how I even got her to stay in this hotel. She's pulled the bed down, and she's like, "You're not going to want to see this, but I have to show you." There was a spot in the bed that was 10 times worse than the spot in the floor. It looked like somebody had defecated in the bed, and they'd slaughtered an animal on this mattress. And I was like, okay, let's go. So we go out, and I'm thinking, I'm going to get me breakfast. So I get out in there, and the lady points over to the bar, and it's black bananas, rotten apples that have buzz on them. So we go ahead. We're leaving. I get in the parking lot. The pool has been filled in with concrete, and it's got grass growing up on it, graffiti on what's left of the concrete there. And there's hypodermic needles laying in the parking lot, and then I actually see what's left of like a one-pot meth lab and Gatorade bottle laying over at the side of the parking lot. So,
Oh my gosh, I'm cringing on his behalf. All right, we're going to churn through as many of these as we can as soon as I get back. In the meantime, I want you to do something for me. I want you to prepare, make a little preparation for a bumpy year. I want you to go to mypatriotsupply.com and get yourself an emergency food kit. I want you to get it. I don't want you to do what I've been tempted to do, which is dip into it. I want you to get it. I want you to stash it, attic, garage. I don't care. Stash it so you don't see it and think about it. And just keep it there, all right? Every single person should have an emergency 3-month food kit, especially in these times. Go to mypatriotsupply.com and get yours today. Everyone in your home needs this. 2,000 calories a day of real energy, food, keep you alive. mypatriotsupply.com. Go. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
We'll be right back.
Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. We'll be right back tomorrow and then the next day. And then I'm not coming in because it's Saturday, but you get the idea. Remember, you can email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Don't forget, if you miss it, every minute of the show's podcasted on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. Michael and I are still trying to figure out if that last guy cussed. Michael beeped it out, but we have to check and make sure it doesn't get onto the podcast because kids listen to the show. Just a reminder, I know this is abnormal because I never take calls. Once every couple weeks, I'll take calls. For you people who call in, I know I'm a little rough around the edges and certainly a terrible person, but kids do listen to the show. You can't cuss. No cussing. All right. Nothing that would be inappropriate for kids. My own kids listen to the show. Kids are listening. All right. So just try to keep it PG. I don't care if you're a little rough around the edges. Keep it PG for the kiddos out there. People listen as a family. Parents listen on the way, taking their kid to school, taking their kid home from school. And I have promised, and I will always keep this promise to you. I don't make many of them. This will always be a show you can listen to with your children. It will always be. You never have to turn this show off when you're going inside because you don't know if I'm going to take it other than PG. It's just not going to happen. That's one. Two, your dog deserves better than you. I'm just kidding. No, he doesn't deserve better than you. He deserves better than that crappy dog food, though. All I can do is tell you this. You know what? Actually, forget about me. I want to read this for you. Okay. I've heard you talk multiple times about adding, this is an email, designer dog Jesse. That's not nice. I've heard you talk multiple times speaking about rough greens to Fred's food at breakfast. I've been a dog trainer for about 15 years now. If you're only feeding him once a day, he's going to hurl up his food because it's too much. By the way, we feed Fred twice a day, morning and night. We only put rough greens in the morning. I need to clarify. Anyway, he goes on to say, break at his feeding, so on and so forth. He says, I'm a huge believer in rough greens, as my, at the time, 13-year-old was on the verge of being put down because her back end was starting to fail. I tried it with her, and within 2 weeks, she was actually playing again. Granted, for 15-second bursts, but she was acting much happier and healthier. Here it is over a year later, and she's doing well still. It has added at least a year to her life, and now all five of my dogs eat rough greens. His name is Scott. How about that for a testimonial? You want a free trial bag for your puppy? Go get a free trial bag. Go to Rough Greens, R-U-F-F, by the way, roughgreens.com/Jesse. roughgreens.com/Jesse gets you your free trial bag. Now we got one segment left. I need you to churn them and burn them, all right? Churn them and burn them. Mike, Pennsylvania, go.
Hey, I flew the first time in my life, 1969, to go down to Basic in Texas. The damn airplane fell 3 seconds and scared the poop out of me. I'm keeping it clean. In Texas, I took off for Vietnam. The airplane did good until we got to Manila. Brakes didn't work, and Manila has a runway that goes up and off the end of the cliff. We went flying down into that valley for about 10 seconds of free fall. Finally, that stretch eight started up, got me to Vietnam. I stayed 4 tours in Vietnam because I refused to fly back home. They finally.
Semper Fi, man. Oh, that's. Oof, 4 tours. Eugh. Cindy, Denver, go.
Once in a lifetime family vacation to London and Edinburgh over Christmas. There was a 1/2 inch of snow in London and Edinburgh. Everything came to a dead stop. So we got on the last flight to Edinburgh, only our baggage didn't make it. And so then we get to the hotel, and for the next 4 mornings, every morning I'm getting up an hour before my family and spending an hour to an hour and a half on the phone with British Airways trying to figure out where the heck our luggage is. They can't find it, can't find it, can't find it. Finally, on Christmas Eve, we rush to we're wearing the same clothes every day for the first 4 days of our first of our life once-in-a-lifetime vacation. Finally, on Christmas Eve, we walk into the stores 1/2 hour before they close, because they close early there, to buy some clothes so that we could wear decent clothes to church the next day. And we finally settle down. We've got clothes, and we go looking for a place to eat Christmas Eve dinner as a family. Well, all of the restaurants in the area where we were staying turned into bars, and we had a 15-year-old son, and we would walk in, can't serve you. We're like, it doesn't. We just want food. Doesn't matter. They can't serve us. After 6 places, we finally find a Mexican restaurant in Edinburgh, Scotland, run by Chinese people who can't speak English. And I ordered chorizo with eggs, and it was haggis. I had to eat.
For you Yankees, chorizo is a Mexican sausage. It's also glorious. It's got all these Mexican spices in it, and it's most definitely not haggis. Willie, Idaho, go.
Hi. Recently, my wife and I moved up to the Canadian border in Idaho, and they finally dropped the COVID restrictions. So last fall, we thought, well, let's do a road trip into Canada for our anniversary. So when we get to the border crossing, they say to my wife, you've been randomly selected to take a COVID-19 test, and they give us a kit with very little instructions. Well, we kind of figure it out. We call the 800 number on the kit, and they say, we'll call you back for a virtual test. So we're driving down the road. We have to pull over. Finally, they call us back, and she swabs and everything, puts the kit into a package, which is FedEx, and they say it must be mailed by 5 o'clock today. Okay, we go into the next town. Where's the FedEx? There's no FedEx, just little towns, no FedEx. And I'm like, I think we can make it to Calgary by 5. So we go. It puts us on this highway that is rolling hills. It's either farm trucks or sports cars. And we're in our little gas zipper. And these people are just white-knuckle passing. So I'm stressing out on the drive. Finally, we get in. We're getting into Calgary. And my wife had the GPS set for our hotel, but then she put it in for this FedEx location, and we didn't know it, but they were both running at the same time. So it'd say, get in the right two lanes, and then I'd get in the right two lanes and say, go straight. And I'm just pulling my hair out by this point. If I was young, I would have got mad, but my wife is beautiful and sweet, so I just kept trying to do what she was telling me. Finally, we get to the FedEx at 5 minutes to 5 and drop it off. Because, of course, we don't want to go to Canadian jail or something if we haven't followed Trudeau's instructions or whatever. We get it there, and then the whole weekend we're in Canada. We don't hear anything. We're coming back going, man, are they going to stop us and not let us back into the U.S. or whatever? And then, like, 5 days later, when we get back into the U.S., we get a phone call. We haven't received your test yet. but the funniest part of the story was the double GPS and trying to deal with that.
Oh, this has been fantastic. What is it about other people's misery that we all enjoy so much? And there are tons I'm not going to get to. We just ran out of time. Look, okay, you know what this is for me? This is a lesson. Next time I take calls, it won't be tomorrow or anything like that, but next time I take calls, probably a couple weeks or something like that, I'm probably going to do the same theme, because there are clearly a ton of these that are hilarious. And it's a nice break from everything, is it not? We're going to be back here tomorrow, and I'm going to get into all the other news, but dang, we got to take a minute and smile. Take a minute and smile. Life is short. Life is good, all right? That's all. Take it easy.
This is an iHeart podcast.